Hi, friends. Welcome to Worship Center's podcast. Our hope is that these messages help you engage with God's Word so that your faith influences every area of your life. Enjoy.
Yes, that's part of our church family, serving around the world. And many of them are here in person with us today. I'd like to invite all of our global partners that are here to stand up so the congregation can see you. Can we welcome them this morning? We're going to be hearing from a few of them in just a moment. But before I invite them to the stage, I just want to give you a big picture overview of outreach here at Worship Center. We have 31 global partners, in case you were lost track on that video, and they are reaching into well over 100 nations around the globe. Worship Center truly has a global impact. We've got a combination of cross-cultural missionaries, which that means that people from this nation go to other cultures and other nations to serve. And then we also have a number of near-cultural missionaries that are serving their own culture and their own language within their context. That's one of the uniqueness of Worship Center's program. If you want to know a little bit about just some of their demographics, we have 17 global partners that are age 50 and above. And on average, those older global partners have served 30 years on the foreign field. That's incredible longevity. But also, equally exciting, is we have 14 global partners 50 and under. So that means the next generation of Worship Center Global Partners is here and is coming. And I'm very excited about that. Listen to some of the areas that our global partners impact. They impact ministry to children, anti-human trafficking prevention, church planning, evangelism, discipleship, supporting indigenous pastors, and many areas of humanitarian assistance meeting daily needs. We are a part of that. This is our church body extending their arms to serve people around the world. And that is something we're celebrating. Wouldn't you agree? Can we celebrate that? If you're new to Worship Center, we like to clap. So that's just one of the things we do. Well, you might be wondering, I thought we were talking about the book of Jonah. I thought we were in the middle of a series on Jonah. What is this outreach service? What's going on here? Well, Jonah is actually about someone who was called to go on outreach. He was given the command, he was given the call to go and to preach to Nineveh. Well, Jonah didn't respond in the best way. Jonah decided he didn't really want to do this, so he actually ran from the call of God. He tried to get on a ship bound for Tarshish, which at that time was the farthest city in the known world. He tried to escape God's call. Well, as we learned last week, God pursues. And God pursued Jonah even as he tried to run from him. He ended up in the belly of a fish. God pursued him in the belly of a fish. Jonah was then vomited up by the fish, and he once again was given the call to go. To go and preach the gospel to the city of Nineveh. Now, Jonah was a proud Israelite. He was patriotic. He loved his country. And what God had just asked him to do was to go to Israel's arch enemies, to go to the nation of Assyria that was the most brutal nation on the face of the planet. This nation was known for their wickedness. They were known to conquer their enemies and take human skulls and pile them up at the entrances to their cities to intimidate their enemies. And God was pursuing even the Assyrians. He was pursuing even these people. So Jonah, he reluctantly went. He shared the message of repentance. And then he sat on a hill that we see in chapter 4 of Jonah, watching over the city of Nineveh. Perhaps he was up there watching and wondering, will fire come down from heaven and judge them, kind of like I hope? Or is God going to actually forgive them? And spoiler alerts, we'll get to this in a couple weeks, God forgave the Assyrians because God pursues his people. So Jonah is an example of someone who received the call of God and didn't actually respond in the right way. And when we see people in Scripture, we need to look at, did they do what they were supposed to do, and how can we learn from their successes and their mistakes? We definitely want to learn from Jonah's mistakes, that when God gives us a call, we need to respond and we need to go. Well, today we are going to use the book of Jonah as a backdrop for our conversation with three global partners. And we're going to hear from them how they have responded to the call of God. And I promise you, they've responded better than Jonah has. So we're going to hear some good examples of answering the call. So I'd like to invite these global partners to the stage today. I'm having three couples come, and they're going to share a little bit about what they do, and we'll hear how they have responded to the call. First, David and Krista Stolzfus, they serve in Asia. Next is Andrew and Ann Taylor. They have multiple ministry locations, including India, Indonesia, and Fiji. And then finally, we have Mike and Laura Borden, who spent many years serving in India and are now serving right in our own backyard with YWAM in Lancaster. Will you welcome them this morning? Well, it is a joy for me to have you guys here and seeing all of our global partners here. It's so exciting for me. And I'm excited to hear a little bit about what you guys do and how you have followed the call so that we can inspire all of us to do our part and follow the call as well. So we're going to start with David and Krista. David, do you want to tell us do you want to tell us briefly just about your family and what the call is that you're actually following?
Yeah, good morning. I guess it started with me when I was 17 years old. I went on a summer mission trip, and I was exposed to people that I had never seen before, a culture that I'd never seen before, and it really impacted my heart. And God spoke to me at that time that I would one day end up in another nation. I didn't know where at that point. But on that trip was also David. And God
was
speaking.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. God has a way of putting people together how he wants it. And so, we started dating, got married, and fast forward a couple years, we had two children. And they were ages 1 and 4, and God led us to go to the Philippines. So we were in the Philippines working with church planting and an orphanage. We were there, and also Bible school. So we were there in the Philippines for 10 years. But at the same time, God was putting on our hearts a heart for Hong Kong and other nations around. And again, God connected us with the right people. It was David and Ellen Hestevold, who are our lead pastors now in the church that we're working with in Hong Kong. And so we've been in Hong Kong now for 13 years. And our children are now ages 27. Conrad is 26. Anthony is 23. And Seth is 18. And two of them are here with us now. Our older one is still in Hong Kong. He's working. But they're all very active in the ministry. And from the very beginning, God said it would be about our family. And our family, God has put the same thing in our family to be there. And It's a blessing, a privilege. It has some sacrifices, but God is greater.
Well, I told you they like the clap. So, well, David, we're talking a little bit about Jonah and using that as a backdrop today. And we know that Jonah had a hard time obeying the call. In fact, he ran from it. The last couple years has presented you guys with a number of obstacles in your ministry. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the obstacles you faced over the last couple of years and how you endured and pushed through those obstacles to stay faithful?
Sure. Well, God never promised everything would be easy. He just promised he would go with us through anything. And these past couple of years have been really a challenge. I'll go back to 2019. If those of you who have followed the news, what was happening in Hong Kong, 2019 was a year of protests. Many protests throughout Hong Kong. There were city blocks that were totally blocked off. There were protests of upwards of 1 million people on the streets of Hong Kong, mostly young people, protesting for freedom. And then 2020 came. 2020 was the year of COVID, when COVID came. So the government used that as a very nice opportunity to get rid of all public demonstrations and really shut things down. Since then, we've had, I think, different waves of COVID come through. And with every wave has been lockdown. We've been locked down, then open up, then lockdown, open up.
So you've had five lockdowns. Not just one like we had.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
Wow.
And the good thing that came out of that was we were challenged to go online and have more of an online presence. Thankfully, we've had a lot of awesome young people in our church. Our son Anthony being one of them that is very good in IT and helps us to get out there and to reach people online. And so that's been a good thing that has happened from that. But it hasn't always been easy. You know, we've had to wear masks from the beginning. So I've learned to even preach in a mask. That is possible.
I've seen some of the photos, actually.
Not the best thing to do, but you can do it. So it's been a lot of challenges along the way. I think so many people, there has been a loss of hope and a real fear of the future in Hong Kong, a fear of what's going to happen. Actually, many people have been leaving Hong Kong, but God spoke to our hearts that I want you to stay, and you are planted here for a reason. You're planted here to bring hope and healing to this place. One thing that our church did is we released the video, the blessing, the song, the blessing. We had that translated into Cantonese. And you can, if you go to YouTube, you can find Hong Kong Blessing. You can find that video. And it's just, it was released during COVID. And it was just a song of hope, that there is hope. God has a hope and a future. I think two things that God really taught me during this time is, first of all, it's so important to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to listen to His voice more than ever, because He knows how to operate in different situations. And sometimes that's very uncomfortable for us, but He's never surprised by things, and He knows how to go forward, how to move forward in any situation. So following the Holy Spirit, and also I've really learned that the body of Christ is so valuable and so important, and we need each other. We need relationships. Online is wonderful. I thank God for online, but we need relationships. We need to be accountable to people. We need the body of Christ. And God spoke to us as we moved to Hong Kong, I want you to be a family, a church family for those without a family. And so that's really a part of our heart and a culture of our church.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much, David. And thank you both for enduring through the last couple of years and answering that call and being faithful. Thank you so much. Well, I think the service wants to clap. So that's good. We appreciate that. Andrew and Ann, we'd like to hear a little bit from you. Ann, why don't you give us a little bit of a snapshot of your ministry and how you're located in multiple places?
Sure, Chris. The name of our ministry is Apt Foundation. And by the grace of God, it's been 32 years since Apt has been in operation. During this time, God has enabled Andrew to start Bible colleges in established Bible colleges in Nandi, Fiji, Jakarta, Indonesia, and North India. Both the Indian and Fijian campuses also have Christian schools that are running. And the mission and the vision of APT Foundation has always been to teach and train native Christians to then equip them to be able to take the gospel within their countries. We continue to support native pastors by helping them build simple church structures and providing basic transport, like used motorcycles for them to get around, as well as sponsoring the children of native pastors, because educating the children becomes a real struggle and a last priority for a lot of them. So we are involved in that, and that's a huge blessing. We also run a mercy ministry in Bangalore, India, which is a free daycare for very poor children from the slums. They're aged between 1.5 and 4, and we have the opportunity to minister to them by loving them, feeding them and teaching them with a view to ignite their little minds to desire to learn, because education empowers and is one of the great tools to break the cycle of poverty. The seeds of the gospel that we put in their little hearts are through Bible stories and Christian choruses. We also have a ministry based in Australia, and Andrew continues to travel and teach in various churches in Brisbane, Melbourne, and Adelaide.
Great. Thank you for giving us that overview. Well, Andrew, my question for you as we relate this to the book of Jonah, we see that Jonah was asked to go and share the gospel to people that were his enemies. Jonah was patriotic as an Israelite, and he was asked to go and share repentance to the brutal Assyrians. I'm wondering if in your ministry career, have you ever been asked to do something like that, that would be going to people that may be an enemy of the gospel or might be an enemy of people that are fighting against freedom? Have you had any of those experiences of God saying, go to your enemies?
Absolutely. Most of us here would remember 9/11 and the events that caused it. And it was right on the heels of that I felt the Holy Spirit impress on me to reach out. And we did so. That's when we felt to establish one of our three Bible colleges in Indonesia, which is the most populous Muslim nation on earth. As we sit here today, one of our alumni, there's so many over the years, now has a church of over 2,000 people in Indonesia. It's the world's largest archipelago, 13,000 islands. Another female alumni and her husband moved to Kalimantan, which is the biggest part of Borneo, the island of Borneo. They have pioneered a brand new Bible college. That's just blew me away to see how God has done that through some of our alumni. And there's many other such testimonies. So here's an opportunity to respond in love and with the wisdom and leading of the Holy Spirit when bad things happen to us. As Anne mentioned, in India, it's actually in North India, we established the Bible College and Christian School. And Anne's project is for the poor children from the slums in Bangalore in the south. Now, Anne has a passion for the poor, the homeless, and the underprivileged. And that's why she married me. She's not going to tell you also that she's an architect. She's given that up while she serves the underprivileged. But being an architect, the biggest mistake she made when she married me was she thought she'd redesign me. All right. But, And in the Fiji Islands, this was the first of the three Bible colleges the Lord led us to pioneer. We have a Bible college established in a beautiful property just 5 minutes from the international airport and a Christian school. And we have a second property in Fiji. 3 years ago, now apart from the USA, the top three most populous nations on earth are China, India, and Indonesia. So we've touched on Indonesia and India already. But 3 years ago, and I have to say this, you can connect the dots, leaders of the underground church in the most populous nation on earth contacted us, flew to Fiji, met with me, and the second parcel of land we have in the name of APT, we're working with them. I can't tell you more. God has provided them a safe haven to inculcate certain type of quality of educational values in children from that country. So I'm like, Lord, this is beyond what I could ever have imagined to be able to touch those three most populous nations. You can take me home anytime you want, but he's not ready yet. As Anne mentioned, in Australia, we travel and minister. I also go to some outback towns. Nearly got killed one time when a big red kangaroo hopped in front of our car. Here you think of deer, there's kangaroo.
That's a different kind of obstacle to the gospel.
Definitely,
isn't it?
Obstacle course. Another thing, due to the lockdown, I was able to obtain a medical pass to visit an elderly loved one. So we traveled uninhibited by God's grace. But because all the preaching on Sundays were canceled, the Holy Spirit led me to start a YouTube channel. So I'd be greatly honored if you found Andrew N for No Nonsense Taylor. Andrew N. Taylor and subscribe. We'd love to see another 50 or 100. God has brought us, since thanks to the lockdown, nearly 2,000 subscribers and close to 25,000 views. And as a result of that, a free global online Bible college. The first two ladies to do it, two ladies in central Pennsylvania, believe it or not. So all around the world, that's happening. It's really, really exciting. The praise reports is how God has been able to use us in spite of ourselves. There's a book for sale at our table and a sign-up sheet. You can learn much more. Sign up for the Bible College. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. You're doing a great job. I just want to personally affirm you. God bless you.
Thank you, Andrew. There are all kinds of obstacles that we have to face, and sometimes it's even our own opinions of, should people be able to receive forgiveness? That's what Jonah dealt with, and so Andrew and Anne have been great examples of that. Well, let's go down to Mike and Laura. Last but not least, Mike, you and Laura have been a part of Worship Center and being global partners for a long time now. Can you give us just a little snapshot of your ministry career and where you're serving now?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's so good to be here with you. We love the Worship Center. Laura and I have both worked in youth with a mission a lot of our lives. You guys are pretty familiar with YWAM. I think it's had a lot of people have gone out of the Worship Center and served in YWAM. I started out in the South Pacific. I spent 7 years in Samoa and Hawaii and Fiji. And I was involved there in discipleship and evangelism in those island nations. Laura started out in 1978. She started out in Switzerland, Lausanne, Switzerland. She left college here, and she went there to learn how to do evangelism. And one of her first assignments, she was in the city of Amsterdam, and they had a team in Amsterdam, where they were reaching out to the women who worked in the red light district of Amsterdam. As time went on in the 80s, early 80s, I guess it was, the Lord spoke to me to leave the islands and go to Asia, and the Lord spoke to Laura to leave Europe and go to Asia. And one day, I think it was late in 1983, I was walking around Hong Kong to look for Christmas presents, and Laura and I ran into each other on the street, on the sidewalk. We were both serving in Youth with a Mission. We ended up in 1985, we got married here in Lancaster. Her family were from Lancaster. Pastor Sam married us here, and we went from here, and we went out, and we went back to India, where I had been serving for a couple of years. And for the next 25 years, we served in India. We lived in Calcutta, India for many years. We also lived in South India. We had our three daughters during the time while we were in India. So we raised our daughters there up until they finished high school. And after they got out of high school, they came back to the United States and they went to college and they've done various things back here. About 2009, Laura and I both felt like the Lord was speaking to us about coming back to the United States. It was odd because we both felt the same thing. And it ended up around 2010, 2011, in that time, we felt like the Lord said go. And we came back and we began to take the leadership of a Youth with a Mission base up in Lebanon, Lebanon County in the city of Lebanon. And we were up there for 10 years. And again, we were training, discipling, encouraging people to follow the Lord, and sending out teams. Then in 2019, we had a fire. Our building burned down up there. During that same period, Youth with a Mission International was talking about starting up a YWAM base in Lancaster County. And that was also starting to happen. So We went through a process of waiting on the Lord and asking him what we should do. And eventually we felt that rather than continue with YWAM in Lebanon, we should join the ministry in Lancaster County. And so we did that last November. We started working with them. I'm working in evangelism and frontier missions. Laura is serving in leadership development and also missionary care of missionaries coming off the field. So that's it.
All right. Well, it seems like we have quite a few couples that have met on the mission field up here. Maybe that's part of following the call. You never know what benefits might be there. Well, Laura, as we've said repeatedly today, Jonah had a number of obstacles to overcome. And I think of you and Mike raising your family in India and raising up young girls in a very different culture. What kind of obstacles did you have to overcome to stay faithful to the call while you were living in India?
Well, I was working in Hong Kong originally, and then when I met Mike, I knew when I said yes to Mike, I was also saying yes to India. So it was a big shift for me at that point. We got married and went back to India together, and within a year, we had to leave India. Our visa was denied in our extension within the country, and we came back to the worship center. We came back to here and to our home church, and we were thinking, okay, we need to rethink our whole mission strategy, because whatever we thought we were going to do, we're not going to be able to do. We were very sure we were blacklisted in the country and not be able to get back. And went to a ministerial fellowship, and someone we really respect in the Lord, has no idea about our situation, came up to us and said, hey, I have a word of the Lord for you. And he starts praying for us, and he says, the Lord says, turn around. There's a deep well behind you. And it was kind of a weird word. We were like, we can't really turn around. We just got kicked out from turnaround. So, we're not really sure how to go forward. We had another pastor gave us another word within a few weeks, and it was from Psalms, the scripture that says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness and build houses and plant gardens. And we just went home and we started to pray and we said, God, is this you? Are you speaking to us? And so we put a fleece before the Lord and we said, okay, we will send our passports. And that time we had to send them to San Francisco. If we get another three-month visa, we'll go back. And if we don't get another three-month visa, then we know that you have something else for us. So we got a three-month visa when the passports came back in the mail. And so we went back to India, and we stayed in India for the next, 2.5 decades. So it was just something really powerful that I knew that God had brought us back. The second thing happened maybe about 2 years later, is before we had kids. We were still on three-month visas in those days, and so I was afraid to kind of set up house, or we were living in a YWAM apartment, and I didn't really want to buy anything because I knew in 3 months we could be gone. We might not be here anymore. And I remember one day the Lord started speaking to me and said, why do you keep thinking you're here for 3 months? And I'm like, well, it's because of our visa. And then the Lord said, you know, you're here until I tell you to move. And I went out that afternoon and I bought my first piece of furniture. You know, it was my statement of faith. I'm here until God says differently. It doesn't really matter it does matter what's happening around and what the government says, but it's God who ultimately makes that decision. Amen. And that situation really sustained me through having kids. And I don't know how many times I came back to the Lord and I said, God, I'm here until you say move. And when difficult situations came up or situations we weren't sure about, I knew that until God said move, we were here. And then when God did say move, that was the time when we came back about 11 years ago.
That's great. Well, I love how that's such a, yes, let's clap. I think that's such a beautiful picture of just not only the overcoming the obstacles, but overcoming it with God. And he's going with you and helping you do those things. That's a great example. Well, our time is running short, but we have time for one more question. And I want to ask a little bit of a different question. Many times when we talk to global partners, we talk about all the stories of success and faith and just overcoming. But I'm wondering do any of you have a short story of a time when you were tempted to not follow the call, when you were tempted to give up or to stop, just because we're real people too. Would any of you guys have a short story like that you you were tempted to give up, but it didn't happen? It was a temporary almost walking away? Krista, do you have one?
I do. I'll share my story.
But she's going to, we're exposing your story. Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, because I'm a real person. So, so we were living in Hong Kong several years, and the first couple years were quite difficult. Finances were really tight. Our children going to school was, finding a school, and just the whole thing about schooling was very difficult. I felt like ministry, what I had in my heart for it, wasn't happening. And I kind of got this, I felt really frustrated. I was kind of mad at the people around me and mad at God. And I had these walls up in my heart. But at the same time, I knew to pursue God. So I would go to him and I would go to the word. But sometimes I felt like nothing was really getting in. But there were several things that caused me to say, I'm running my race and I'm going to finish it. And that was two things. One was I had the love of God from people in different situations that just tore down those walls. And actually, some of the people that God used were in this church. Some of the people that God used were in my home church, in Happy News Church. And that was one thing. Another thing that was very significant was I was going through my notebooks one day, and it was from 1997. I had drawn a picture of what I had in my heart for my life, for my future. And the picture was a picture of the United States and a picture of the Philippines and a picture of Hong Kong and a surrounding nation. And when I saw that, it was God was saying, hey, this is what I've called you to do. This is what I've called you to be. And it hasn't gone away. And I have you. And it's going to be all right. Mm. So, now I'm wholehearted. I'm going to finish.
All right.
With joy.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that honest time. Because, you know, sometimes following the call isn't just no obstacles. All of us face that. And I think whether it's our global partners up here, or whether it's all of you, we all have a call to follow. We all have things that we need to do that is a part of God's plan. And whether that's going to a foreign country or whether that's being obedient to overcome the obstacles and things that you face right here in what God has called you to do, when we all play our part, we can see amazing things happen, like a city of Nineveh being reached for the gospel, when many people may have wanted to see judgment come. So I want to encourage all of you, as we can learn from the example in Jonah and from the stories of our global partners, let's all play our part to follow the call and see what God might do in our lives and through our lives. Well, it has been really great hearing from some of our global partners. And after the service, I do want to let you know that a number of them are going to be in Center Square. You can go back there and introduce yourself and get to know them a little bit more. These are part of our Worship Center family, these people, and so we want to celebrate them, and we also want to get to know them a little bit. So I'm going to dismiss our global partners, even the ones seated in the audience, to head out to Center Square so they can beat the traffic. And if you hang on with me for a couple minutes, I have a few announcements. Can we celebrate and thank these guys? Well, my first announcement for us this morning is an event that's happening 1 year from now. And we've gotten a little bit of a taste of it today. But next June, June 15th through the 25th, we are going to be doing our global gathering. And this is an event where we bring not just a few of our global partners home, we bring all of them back to Lancaster so that we can interact with them in multiple church services and we can hear their stories and have a lot of events. So please mark your calendars. Our global gathering is next June 15th through the 25th, 2023. If you have vacation plans, just cancel them. You're not going to want to miss this. It's been a great event to hear from all the people that are being sent out from Worship Center. As well, if you're interested in hearing some more of the stories, things like you've heard today, and just the continuing efforts of what we're doing locally, I encourage you to follow us on social media. Worship Center Outreach is on Facebook and Instagram, and we regularly share these stories and these updates from our global partners, as well as local opportunities for you to get involved with, so you can continue to hear about things there. After the service, we do have prayer available that if any of you feel a need of prayer, whether that's something you're walking through right now, or perhaps there is even something in this message that you feel like, I want someone to pray for me about following the call. We're gonna have some people down here after the service that you can come to and have them pray for you. Well, you may also know that tonight we have one more time of worship for you. Okay, we had a great time of worship this morning, and there is another special worship service tonight at 6 o'clock right here, First Love Worship Service. And so we want to invite you back to that. If you haven't gotten your fill of worship this morning, come back tonight. It's going to be a great time just worshiping Jesus here, all right? Thank you again for all that you do to serve our global partners and to help us reach out around the world. You are a part of every single one of these stories. We're so grateful. Have a great week, Worship Center. We'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and challenged to follow Jesus and serve our world the way he did. We'll see you next time.